إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ به من شر أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل ومن يضل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير هدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Indeed, all praise belongs to Allah, the Most High. We thank Him. And we seek His aid, and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge with Him from the evil of ourselves and from our bad actions. Whoever Allah guides, then there is no one who can mislead him. And whoever Allah causes to go astray, then there is no one to guide him. And I bear witness, we bear witness that there is no deity except Allah who is unique and without partners. And we all bear witness that Muhammad is his worshiper and his messenger, and may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him and his family and his companions and those who follow them with good intentions until the day of judgment. O you who believe, fear Allah as he should be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. Again, O you who believe, fear Allah as he should be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. And O mankind, be careful of your duty to your Rabb who created you from a single soul, and from it created its mate, and from the two of them he spread forth many men and many women. Be careful of your duty to Allah whom you demand your mutual rights, and be careful of your duty to the wounds that bore you. Indeed, Allah is al-Raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah, and always speak the truth. He will cause your deeds to be beneficial, and He will forgive for you your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His messenger, then he has truly achieved a tremendous accomplishment. For indeed, the best speech is the book of Allah, and the best guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the most evil of all affairs are newly invented matters, and which has no precedence in Islam. And indeed, all innovations are astray, and each astray is in the hellfire. O Allah, save us from it. O Allah, accept our dua. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. And Allah says, and they ask about the soul. Say, the soul is something from the command of Allah, and you are not given from the knowledge but a little. And if we so will, we shall surely take away what we have revealed to you. But then you shall find no one to rely upon against us in this matter. But it is a mercy from the Lord. Great is indeed His favor upon you. And it's from Surah Al-Isra, ayats 85 through 87. And when we look at the soul, and many of us, we think we have some idea what the soul is. You know, as Allah says, that we only know a little. We only know a little. You know, but there's a concept called the diseases of the heart. And so just as if the heart can become poison, it's just like when one consumes alcohol and they damage their liver, and the liver can basically, it's basically the sewage station of the body. It purifies the body. And so if you engage in behaviors that damages the organs, the liver specifically, your kidneys also, if you engage in those types of behaviors, then it can poison the whole body. Because the purification ability is limited at that point. Just like if we do not do things that are basically healthy for our hearts, our spiritual hearts, then we can damage our spiritual soul. And at that point, we can develop a form of soul cancer. Soul cancer. We have to recognize that, you know, just like the body can get sick, the soul can get sick, my brothers and sisters. And I just wanted to share this with you today. You know, again, cancer, again, of the soul, it's like a spiritual malady. You know, again, just like we have that type of sickness in the physical realm, when we look at people who are suffering from different ailments, different forms of cancer, we see cancer is a disease that consumes the body, whichever part of the body is impacted by the cancer. So you can imagine from a spiritual perspective how soul cancer can basically erode your ethics. It can erode your ability to determine what is right and what is wrong. And in psychology, we call those type of people sociopaths. Sociopaths, people who can't distinguish what is right and what is wrong. But I've seen many people who have been labeled sociopaths, they go to prison, and Allah brings them to Islam, and they become model citizens. And so we have to recognize that Islam is the cure for soul cancer, not just perfecting or professing Islam with your tongue, but internalizing Islam with your heart. One of my teachers used to say, you can be Muslim in name or Muslim by commitment. And I used to wonder, what was he talking about? Muslim by name or Muslim by commitment? I was living in Saudi Arabia at the time. And he talked about how the whole country there, for 99% of the country, is Muslim. But very few of them are committed Muslims. And so just like we can have numerous Muslims in this country, but how many of us are committed Muslims? How many of us are making the effort to fast to make the Ramadan? How many of us are getting up for Fajr in the masjid, specifically for brothers, because the brothers get the most blessings coming to the masjid? That hadith has not been abrogated, brothers. You know, I know we're in this pandemic, but we can still take the necessary precautions. Allah has given us this pandemic. It's a form of adversity. He gives us adversity so that we will learn humility. So how much humility? How have we humbled ourselves during this pandemic? As I mentioned last time I spoke, how many ayats of the Quran have you learned? How many hadith have you learned? How much Islam have you basically tried to internalize? How many classes, whether it's online or in person, have you attended? Because when the pandemic is lifted, you look back and say, man, I had all that time. Because all our distractions were taken away. And Allah give you all that time, and if all we're doing is eating and going from the couch to the refrigerator, and you get that pandemic 40 on your belt. So we have to basically use this time as a means of growing in our deen. Allah gave us this time. You know, just like there's so many millionaires who have now become billionaires, just because they're exploiting the pandemic. That's the person that makes the mask. They're making money. You know, people making the hand clothes, they're making money. But we don't want to basically just make a whole lot of money. We want to basically accumulate a lot of good so that our real retirement plan, our real, you know, retirement plan is the retirement plan when we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What will be in your account? What will be in your account? What will be in our accounts? And Allah gives us this time as a means of basically accumulating the wealth of the soul. The Prophet ﷺ said, richness is not having diamonds and gold, but richness is having contentment in your soul. Are you content with your life? Are you content with what Allah has given you? We have to avoid these illnesses and the diseases of the heart. You know, again, when we look at these types of actions, again, it contributes to unethical behavior. And it's a form of spiritual sickness and a form of spiritual fitness, that you don't have the level of being fit, spiritually fit. If we live a healthy life, we can have a healthy body. If we live a whole life and Allah takes us and we're living a good life, then we're going to have a healthy soul. If we're living a ratchet life, we're going to have a ratchet soul. As it says that, you know, the Quran that we know will be shade upon us on the day of judgment. It'll be our shade. So if we only know a few ayats, you're just going to have a little beanie cap. But if you know Juzama, if you learn many of the ayats, you can have an umbrella, a tent, or a canopy over you. So we have to visualize what it's going to be like on the day of judgment, because this is just an illusion. This is not reality, brothers and sisters. But Shaitan, he will try to make you think that it is the real deal. Time will be killed. There'll be no more time in the hereafter. And so when Shaitan will try to infect us with this soul cancer, and the soul cancer can take the form of resentments, not wanting to forgive people, anger all the time, being able to, again, engaging in all sorts of unseemly and unethical behaviors, if we're engaging in the illegal behaviors, not just illegal from this standpoint, from the society standpoint, but illegal from the standpoint that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us, the legal in the form of the Sharia. We're not supposed to be engaging in selling the pork and the alcohol or selling the drugs. We're not supposed to be engaging in robbing and stealing and all sorts of unseemly behavior. We're supposed to allow Islam to clean us up. The Prophet ﷺ said the best out of Islam are the best in Islam, and the worst out of Islam are the worst in Islam. So what you bring to Islam, it basically, you have to do an assessment. What do I need to get rid of? When you start to compare yourself, when you start to compare yourself to the Prophet ﷺ, to the companions, and to the righteous Muslims who are around you all in every city, all throughout the world. It's simple mathematics. We have to basically, you know, have an accountant. Allah is the master accountant. And so if we're engaging in sin and we're not praying, if we're engaging in intoxicants, your prayer is not accepted. Your prayer is not accepted. And so, you know, the more you engage in the intoxicants, then your prayers are pushed out to being accepted. Imagine if Allah took your soul in that state. And so you don't want to bring the old behaviors into Islam. If you bring them in there, you have to treat it. You have to treat it. You have to allow, you know, the Quran to be your medicine. You have to allow the Hadith to be your medicine. You have to allow the prayers to be your medicine. Ramadan to be your medicine. I remember when I first started fasting, Dick Gregory, he challenged us in college. He came and said, you know, fast for 24 hours. And we were fasting. He said, get the CIA out of your life. Fast for 24 hours from sunset Friday to sunset Saturday. And when I fasted the first time and the second time, I started recognizing that I'm not eating, but yet I'm being sustained. And when I was a young man, and it put me on a whole different spiritual level just by starting to fast. And that's why Allah gave us fasting. Like He gave fasting to the people who came before us. And a year later, I was Muslim. A year later, I was Muslim because I started recognizing something sustaining me. Because, again, many of us have religion. And just like we can have Islam as a religion, but do we have Islam as a deen? If we're practicing Islam as a religion, again, that could be a form of soul cancer, brothers and sisters. But if we're practicing Islam as a deen, then what happens is we're taking the medicine and the medicine is taking effect. Just like when we get the shot, the vaccine for the COVID. Some people have a negative reaction and others real smooth. You know, so what we have to do is be able to inoculate ourselves with Islam. And I know the world and the society around us, they do everything that's anti-Islam, anti what the Quran says. And so we cannot get sucked into that mess. We cannot be of those who are, you know, just basically seeing things that's attractive to them, and they run after it. Allah talks about, have you not seen the one who takes his own desires, then would you be responsible for him? And what he's saying is that taking your own desires as your Lord, because again, when you put your desires above what Allah desires for us, then you're taking your own desires as your Lord. If Allah says don't get high, and you get high, then you worshiping that whatever you're getting high on. If Allah says don't steal, and you steal, then you worshiping the thievery. And if Allah says don't eat certain things, don't eat during certain times of day, then you're worshiping whatever your desire is. If Allah says do not engage in behaviors that are inconsistent with Muslims and Islam, then you're worshiping that behavior. That becomes your God. So what we have to do is really do an assessment. Use Islam as a way of changing ourselves. Use Ramadan as a means of assessing ourselves. Because, again, it is imposed upon us at this juncture. But what we have to look at is say, okay, you know, what do I need to clean myself up the rest of the year? Because Ramadan is like a mirror. You know, it lets you see all the things that you are attracted to. And then what happens is you spend the rest of the year working on it. Then Ramadan comes again. You might get rid of one thing and get rid of another thing. And then, and as I said, the expiations are between prayers, prayer to prayer. Juma to Juma, Ramadan to Ramadan, Umrah to Umrah, and Hajj to Hajj. Those are the expiations, the getting rid of sins. So we pick up sin throughout the day, and again, the more sin we accumulate, just like cancer, the more cancer, soul cancer that we can have. So if we minimize the sin, it can minimize the spiritual sickness. If I've said any things that's inconsistent with what Allah has given us and what the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us, that he take responsibility for that. And if I've said anything in which you have gained some insight, all praise is due to Allah. لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له الله ملك الله هم وهو على كل شيء قدير. Again, it's essential that we recognize the diseases of the heart can impact us and impact our soul. And during this month, you know, it's not just giving up the food and the drink and the sleep. It is a rehearsal. It is a rehearsal for us to give up the behaviors that are displeasing to Allah. It's just a microcosm. You know, just like, you know, when we are judged on the Day of Judgment, you know, when we break that fast, it's like basically getting judged. You know, so each day in Ramadan is like a life in a micro, from the concept of a microcosm. So we have to look at Ramadan more seriously and not just say, you know, I just want to make it to sunset to eat. But what is the spiritual lessons in Ramadan? It's specifically for our brothers and sisters who are new in Islam. Use these tools that Allah has given us so that you grow in the deen. I've seen, you know, brothers and sisters come to Islam and I've seen them grow exponentially just based on your sincerity. Because if you have sincerity, Allah will give you the knowledge. Allah will allow you to learn the Quran. Allah will allow you to grow and to have so much nur, so much spiritual light, that you blind the ignorant, that you blind the ignorant. And so we have to be of those who can show the difference, to show the difference. We cannot come to Islam and still practice Islam. We have to be of those who are basically showing the way, because the people, many people, they're of certain religions. And they say, well, I'm not practicing. You know, I may do this and I may do that. I'm not practicing. And so we have an ample opportunity to give dawah to people. We have an ample opportunity to show people what Islam is and what Islam isn't. But if you go around your family and friends still doing the same thing, what dawah are you giving? When I was looking at Islam, I used to say, well, I'm not going to be like such and such. I'm not going to be like such and such. These were Muslims that did things with us when we were out in the streets. And we said, well, you Muslim. And we, again, you hear me say all the time, we call them the PTMs, the part-time Muslims. You know, and so you want to be a full-time Muslim. In fact, you want to work overtime. You want to work overtime and give you, dedicate your whole self to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We want to purify ourselves. And just, we want to take minimal sins across the barzakh, the barrier between life and death. We want to take minimal sins. Because Allah is all-forgiving and most merciful. He's all-forgiving and most merciful. And so if during the Day of Judgment he forgives our sins that we carry, then we won't have to go into the fire. Because in this world, when you want to sterilize something, what do? You boil it. You cauterize it. You burn it. And so the fire is designed. It's a purifying fire. It's designed to purify our souls. We want to purify ourselves in this phase of life. It is, let's say the sun is hellfire cooled down so many times. So you can imagine what the hellfire would look like. And you have to ask yourself, if Allah gives you 80, 90 years on the planet, can you maintain a system of consistency, of practice, of avoiding the haram and promoting the halal, of avoiding the sin and promoting righteousness? And that's what we're supposed to be. We're Muslim. We're those who submit. And again, we want to be of those who are truly submitting and not just be Muslim by name only. Because you'll get certain privileges, certain rights, certain gifts just by being a Muslim. But as we say in our prayer, we want the best in this world and the best in the hereafter. For some people who get the best in this world, you got people, again, people making billions during this pandemic. That's the best in this world. But what are they doing with it? Who are they worshiping? Are they worshiping that money? So we have to be of those who continuously strive to be the best people that we can be, to get the best in this world and the best in the hereafter. And again, making money is not haram, but it's what you do with it. Just like during this time, you know, we're supposed to pay the Zakat al-Fitr, and next week we'll have more information on that. You know, we're giving charity. You get exponential blessings by giving charity during Ramadan, giving to the masjid to help the masjid. During this time, we've had tons of bills. The bills kept coming even though the people hadn't been coming. And so we valued safety. And so it's important, you know, that you do what you need to do to help cure the cancer in your soul, the spiritual cancer that's in all of our souls. And just like the physical cancer, it can be eliminated. It can be eliminated. But Islam is the cure for spiritual cancer, the soul cancer. That's the cure. ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملت والذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تهملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا أهل الكون الكافرين. And I want brothers and sisters to make dua for Brother Abdulaziz Haygood. He is dealing with an illness, dealing with the cancer. And we ask him, we ask Allah to purify his body so that he is not stricken with it again. We also want to ask our brothers and sisters to pray for Imam Jamil in this present situation. We ask Allah to free him. And we'll be having more information on activities designed to help free Imam Jamil. And again, keep him in your doors as well.